Hello again. This is Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. And once more, I am your host for Good Word during this fall quarter. We are studying 1 John at the present time, among the other two letters. And to assist me in our discussion, I have Dr. Pedrito Maynard Reed, Professor of Biblical Studies, Missiology Specialist, author of many books, Assistant to the President for Diversity on our campus. Pedrito, welcome again.
Thank you, Bruce.
We continue our conversation.
Wonderful.
We are looking at a continuation of what John started in the first chapter, and he comes back. We saw back in the first chapter that he had this threefold repetition, if we should say that. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to reflect possibly claims made by those who have broken fellowship with this church, or at least those who are creating problems possibly still within the church. And then he gives his responses in terms of confession of sins, recognition that one has sinned, cleansing through the blood of Jesus, atonement, mm-hmm. and then Jesus also mediates. We have an advocate with the Father. Mm-hmm. He comes back to some of that again in verses 3 to 11 of chapter 2.
Yeah.
You have a threefold repetition of claims. Verse 4, he who says, I know him, but disobeys his commandments is a liar. And he said that before.
Of course.
Truth is not in him. And then verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. That's the second one. Mm. And then you have a little interlude, 7 and 8, which talk about commandment. Mm-hmm. And then you come back to the third example of he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness still.
Mm-hmm.
And grouped around that, he develops this topic. Usually he has responses to each one of these, at least to the first and the last one. And if we look at the first one, in contrast to the one who says, I know him. This is interesting language. I know him. And you have mentioned earlier that these people were quasi-Gnostics or early form of Gnosticism or something mm-hmm. like that. And we actually get our word Gnostic from know, gnosko.
They have Greek. This sort of, they've achieved a certain type of knowledge
yeah.
that moves them out of a concrete world.
Yes.
And that's salvation.
Their knowing is a spiritual,
that's right.
devoid of bodily connections. They're enlightened, they know God, and that type of thing.
And John is trying to bring them down to earth to
yeah.
say,
yeah.
you know, Christianity and a relationship with Jesus Christ has to be more than just some ethereal type of knowledge up there.
Yeah. You know, words are always used. I tell my students, and our program engineer is going to chuckle because he's heard it in my Greek class, words don't have meanings, they get meanings.
That's right.
They have virtual meanings.
That's right.
But you never know what they're going to mean till you get to the text.
That's right.
And so,
and if for people who have speak another language or have lived in many cultures, they know that.
Yes.
You know, when I taught in Puerto Rico, I had a person from Mexico and from Puerto Rico and from Venezuela and from Argentina,
mm.
and they would have one word, and in every one of those countries, that word had a different meaning. And somebody used one word one day, a popular word in class, and all the Argentinians their faces went red because it was a swear word down in their country.
Oh my.
Which was just a popular word, but words get meanings from where you are.
From how they're used. Yeah.
How they're used. Yeah.
So these people are using no in a different sense that John is filling it with.
That's exactly right.
This is a fellowship no.
That's right.
It is an ethical no, where you live in justice and equity and respect
mm-hmm.
and mutuality.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
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 Verse 5, whoever keeps his word in him truly, love for God is perfected. Now, if you look at the Greek, that is an interpretation, love for God.
Yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
word is the love of God.
It's the love of God.
is perfected.
Yeah.
And how many different ways could that go? You know, love for God,
mm-hmm.
divine love,
mm-hmm.
God's love. There's several possibilities there. And he talks about perfection.
Yeah.
I don't know how comfortable we are with that.
But, you know, when I think about love and perfection, you know, it always sends me back to Matthew 5 verse 48, you know, and I think there's another place here that we want to even unpack that.
Yes.
That when you're perfect, you love. Yeah. And you love your enemies too.
Oh, you know? That's not so easy.
That's easy.
That kind of puts perfection at the edge of my capability, doesn't it?
I know. But, you know, the witch is going to be tied up. Again, I think all of this is tied up even in the next section there about how you act. I mean, how you walk. Because it says you're going to walk in the same way as he walked.
Okay. And that fills knowing again with a special meaning, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we hear the word perfect, sometimes we go off on a tangent with very Greek-like thinking.
Yes.
We think of absolute metaphysical perfection, whereas this is very relational. And the test in Matthew is that God treats the wicked and the good graciously.
It's all relational. You know, verse 6, whoever says, I abide in him.
Yes.
Ought to walk the way he walks.
Yeah.
We usually say, and Enoch walked with God. That means he kept all the commandments perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we interpret. Now, the text doesn't say, oh, Enoch walked with God.
Mm-hmm.
But if you understand a walking with God, walking the way he walked as relational.
Yes.
That he was in a relationship with God. He abides in him. You know, when I talk about abiding in my wife, you know, I see myself hugging her and just having a wonderful relationship with her. And because I have that relationship, hey, I automatically want to do what she wants.
Right.
But it's not something, it's a checklist of doing things.
No.
It's a relational fellowship.
It's dynamic.
With it. It's a dynamic thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, the word perfect also has a very much a growth concept attached to it.
Yes.
Maturity.
Yes.
Completeness.
Yes.
Fullness.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we
think that we have achieved perfection. That means we have reached to that point.
Yes.
And the Greek for perfection doesn't. It's always moving towards.
And that brought early church theology into a lot of trouble because God was so absolute that he couldn't relate to the world.
Yes.
And Jesus became the link, but God was the distant one from whom Jesus protected us. And so forth.
And we still have that in our a lot of people have a difficulty
still
with
there.
God.
Yes, still there. Whereas here you have a dynamic.
That's right.
I love the Old Testament for the dynamism and the functional categories of relationships.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, well, it doesn't quote the Old Testament.
No, but he has the Old Testament thoughts right
the
there.
The interlude, he talks about commandments, and you have this very strange... I think he's playing with words.
Mm-hmm.
I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. He says, I'm not writing that to you. And then he turns around and he says, yet I am writing you a new commandment, which is true in him and in you because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining.
Unpack that a little bit for me, Bruce.
You know that
new commandment, old commandment. I'm not writing you. What is this?
Obviously, the old commandment is the gospel which they've heard from the beginning, from the beginning of their experience.
So, what makes it new?
I think the application. This is not this stuff was in the heads. It needs to come down in the hands and the feet. And I think that's what happens here. Which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It's not the darkness passing away and Jesus is coming, but the true light is already shining in their lives.
You know, how can we apply this today? Those of us who say we have the commandment, we keep the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Do we really need a new commandment that is old?
Yeah.
That we can take those Ten Commandments and make them fresh, new, by imbuing them with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, one of our favorite writers, Ellen White, has talked about putting Jesus in our doctrines.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and getting the commandments off the wall.
That's right. You know,
you see so often people, they have all 10 hanging on the wall. And the problem is, how do you get that to jump off the wall and walk in your shoes?
That's right. And in your treatment of people. Yeah. The way Jesus. Yeah. That's why, you know, Jesus never quoted all 10 commandments. You ever noticed that?
Yeah.
No, where in the gospel will you find all 10 commandments quoted? Never. Not even the rich young ruler. He got close to quoting a lot of them.
Yes, that's right.
And even then he said, I know you keep them all, but guess what? There's something you're missing.
Yeah.
And it's something that had to do with relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to sell, he needed to give, he needed to share.
Yeah.
So and this old commandment, which is good, believe in the Ten Commandments,
yes,
needs some new life.
Yeah.
And it's an old commandment, but it's new when it has Jesus.
Exactly. When it has love.
When it has love.
Which is
heart,
Jesus.
Which is Jesus, absolutely.
Okay. And that's exactly where he goes next.
Yeah.
He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness still. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and in it there is no cause for stumbling. In other words, you know, one of the other New Testament writers says, love covers a multitude of sins.
Mm-hmm.
I used to puzzle with that one. Mm. But the more experience I've had with myself and also with others is that, you know, people learn to say, you know, his heart is right. Some of his old characteristics got in the way. I'm sure he's working on, but his heart is right. And then you can take it. You can live with it.
That's right.
You can embrace it.
Right.
And that brings fellowship.
Exactly.
Again. Brings fellowship. Again.
But we live so much in a world that if you're not close to me, I hate you. There is so much. And we say it even flippantly, but we mean it.
Yeah.
I hate him.
Yeah.
You know, I hate her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can't sit beside her in church because you have something.
Yeah.
There can't be fellowship. And he says, if you are in the light, how can you live like that?
You know, some of us really, though, we are human beings, and we have our limitations. It feels, you know, we all know that. And I think one of the hardest things is loving an enemy.
It's the most difficult text in the Bible,
I'm
convinced.
Look at all the movies. They're all about revenge.
They're every
vengeance.
About. You know, the cops and robbers types of things.
Yeah.
We want to get a gun to get rid of our enemies. We're going to do anything to make our enemies feel it. Jesus comes with turns the world upside down on it. And he says, you have heard it said, hate your enemies and love your neighbor. I say unto you, love your enemies. Because while you were yet sinners and enemies, Christ died for us.
And that love doesn't need to start with the emotion. It can start with principle.
Right.
And then
you can feel it.
Thank you again, Pedro, for this conversation. It's been fun to be with you again. Thanks to Michael White, program engineer, for Good Word. This is once more Bruce Johansson. For more information about Good Word, you can visit the Positive Life Radio website at plr.org. Look under Programs for Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.